Now have Phoebe Duval, Planning and Environmental Policy Officer with Antoshka. Good morning to you, Phoebe.
Hi, Noel. Thanks for having me back on.
It's good to talk again about this. So explain to us what's happening, because the time is running out for the people to take part in the consultation.
Yes. Yeah, so would you like me to just give a quick overview of the bill?
Indeed. Please do, yeah.
Yeah. So the Planning and Development Bill 2019 has been in development in the Department of Housing, Planning, and Local Government, and it's basically trying to restrict who can take a legal challenge on a questionable planning decision. So, you know, as you know, planning applications go through county or county council, city councils, mm-hmm. and then they can be appealed to on board Planala. And then if that decision is in some way problematic, the public, individuals, community groups, NGOs can take a judicial review on that decision at the court level if they feel that it was unlawful. Mm-hmm. And this is already a really challenging process. You need lawyers, it's really expensive, and you first also have to apply for leave to even take the case from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill is amending the planning legislation to even more severely restrict which members of the public and which groups, environmental NGOs like ourselves and Antoshka, can take a judicial review on a planning decision. And there are really four key ways in which it will radically restrict the public voice in this. So one of those is an amendment to change the minimum time that a group has to have existed before it can challenge a decision. So currently that's 12 months, but this bill is trying to make that 3 years. And that stops recently established NGOs, but even more critically, local community groups, citizen-led groups who might have just formed to deal with a particular planning decision.
Mm-hmm.
It stops them from being able to take a case.
Okay.
Another amendment that's kind of along similar lines is a new requirement that an NGO or a group has to have at least 100 members in order to take a legal challenge. And for one thing, that rules out a lot of environmental NGOs, but it would also really hamstring a lot of community groups who might just be in a small community and not have 100 members.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing has more to do with standing rights, which are basically who can take a legal challenge. And right now, the wording of the law says that a person or a group has to have sufficient interest in the case in order to take a court challenge. But the bill is trying to change that from sufficient interest to substantial interest, which means you pretty much have to be directly affected by the particular development in a way that's personal or peculiar. So that's a much, much stricter requirement than the current one.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is a really big change to the cost structure for the legal fees around these court cases. And it would expose people to drastically higher costs and make it prohibitively expensive in a lot of cases for people to take a case. And right now, there's a cost protection system where each party in a case has to pay its own costs. And that was designed to make sure the members of the public and cash-strapped NGOs could take cases, even though there's pretty much always a big financial inequality between them and
mm-hmm.
developers with huge amounts of resources. So the bill would expose people to much higher costs if they lose, and it would lower the amount of costs that they can claim back if they win the case, which makes it harder to hire lawyers without having to front a lot of the money themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as NGOs, as members of the public, as community groups, we really don't have the resources to make up the difference. So when you boil it down, the bill is dramatically reducing the number of people and organizations that can take legal cases against poor planning decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make it past those sort of entrance requirements, it's really ratcheting up the financial risk. So we consider it to be a very serious infringement on the public's right to participate in the planning process and have access to justice.
It's doing away with it, really. Sorry. Yeah, Phoebe, sorry. It's really nearly practically doing away with any sort of public opposition when you really break it all down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially,
yeah,
as far as groups go, if they're a big enough group and they're strong enough and financially strong as well, they've some chance. But for the ordinary citizens, like when the opposition to St. Anne's and stuff like that, it's really...
Exactly. And chances are, you know, if you're a citizen group that's formed in response to a particular planning application, you know, in most cases, you won't have existed for 3 years because, you know, in some cases, planning issues may extend that long, but that's quite rare. So, I mean, you're kind of caught at the first hurdle there.
It really is. As I say, but this proposal is, how long has it been put forward? It's been quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we initially heard about it back in November, but then in December, on December 9th, Minister Murphy finally, but very quietly, opened it up to public consultation. It hardly made any news at all, and environmental NGOs were not informed, even though obviously the bill would seriously impact us. Mm-hmm. And problematically, the original deadline for the consultation was the 13th of January, so that would have been this coming Monday, which gave 23 working days for the public to respond, and that was right before and after Christmas, which is hugely busy. People probably wouldn't have time. So wow. It was just like the bill itself, really, in terms of trying to quash public participation in this.
Yeah,
but we raised a stink about it. A lot of opposition politicians did. And fortunately, as a result of that, members of the Oireachtas Housing Committee were able to force an extension of the deadline until Monday the 27th. So it does show that pressure that we're putting on the government has been working.
But yeah, because, I mean, it's still not very long, is it? That's only 2 weeks away, so it's still not very long. And I'm just sort of, you were talking about over the Christmas, people have so many things going on. Has there been any sort of public reaction to it? Has it been getting much outlook on the national airwaves and national newspapers, in your opinion?
Not as much as we would like, but yes, people have started paying attention. We are constantly trying to raise awareness about it, and what we're really trying to do now in these next couple weeks is get as many people as possible to respond to the consultation, because it's open to anyone to respond. So we're really urging people to write a letter, kind of outlining why this bill is problematic, why you oppose these changes, and get it in to the department by the 5 p.m. deadline on Monday the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple ways you can do that. You can email planning@housing.gov.ie, or you can post it to the Planning Policy and Legislation section of the Department of Planning, Housing, Planning and Local Government in the Custom House in Dublin 1. So we're just trying to get as many people to write in, give the government their thoughts, tell them why, you know, this is really going to have a seriously detrimental effect on public participation in planning.
Okay, just I'm wondering there now, when we talk about groups and stuff like that, you're asking people to write in. Obviously, individually would be great, because the more sort of volume of stuff to get. But could you have people who maybe have tenants association to write in as a singular entity and say, well, there's 500 members of our association here, we're objecting to this planning. Could you do it like that, or does it have to be
Absolutely,
individual?
Yeah. Groups can write in, individuals, however suits.
Okay, I was just wondering about that, because they seem to be trying to cut back on groups altogether. How is tax on Taoiseach fixed as far as this legislation is concerned?
Well, if we do, since we are a membership-based organization and we have been around for significantly longer than 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Those particular restrictions wouldn't stop us from taking a case. But the problem is, for us, having the substantial interest and the higher costs, you know, it could be more difficult for us to take a case, given the higher level of financial risk.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, while we meet the 3 year and the 100 member requirements, it will absolutely impact us.
Yeah, I was thinking more of public support as well as financial, but public support in itself is a great embolden, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we, in terms of this particular consultation, we're obviously going to be putting in quite a substantial submission ourselves, but we're also more than happy to talk with members of the public, talk with groups, advise them on how to participate, answer questions. And you can send us an email at planning@antashka.org. You know, we're more than happy to advise people, because it's so important to the future of public consultation in planning in Ireland that this bill not go through.
Mm-hmm. Is it just as regards all sorts of big buildings and stuff like that, or does it come down to objections to individual planning? For instance, I don't know, maybe your next door neighbour's building a block of flats in his garden. Does that come into the equation at all?
Right, it could. So taking a judicial review, a court case on a potentially unlawful planning decision could be on any planning decision. Now, there are, it would be more likely to be a larger development probably, because of what I was talking about having to apply for leave to take the case, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you're angry at your neighbor's extension, you know, that wouldn't get through. Whereas, you know, a bigger development that, say, might have adverse impacts on mm-hmm. water quality in a river, that would be more common to go through the court.
I'm only thinking of the way people, you know, all the time you hear about all sorts of breakup in cases in courts, loopholes and all this sort of thing, and you never know. That's the reason why I asked, and it may have sounded like a silly question, but sometimes people can take changes in legislation and use it as a benefit, no matter what the reason, whether it's just a neighbour having a go at another neighbour, or just maybe a whole a group of people just not liking a block of flats at the end of the road, which is happening all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, if you look at the reason why the government has said that they're introducing this bill, they're saying it's to reduce delays in the planning system. But if you look at the numbers, in 2018, 2,847 cases went through on Bord Pleanála, mm-hmm. and only 41 of those were taken to court in a judicial review. So that's really not a lot. And part of the reason for that is that it's actually really hard to take what Minister Murphy has referred to as vexatious claims or sort of selfish reasons for wanting to oppose a development. So really, the bar for even getting a case to court level is quite high as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the reasoning that stopping people from taking judicial reviews is going to reduce delays in the planning system just really doesn't stack up, because it's not addressing the root of the problem,
mm-hmm.
which I think is tightening up planning policy at early stages at the local authority level, where planning law is being applied inconsistently. That leads to appeals. You know, if you tighten it up from the root, then you'll get fewer flawed decisions from the start, and then fewer challenges will be needed.
Mm-hmm.
So the type of things that are already getting to court are quite serious in terms of environmental implications, unlawful planning decisions, and if you're really looking to reduce delays in the planning system, this is not the way to do it.
Yeah, I imagine that a lot of people would be saying if Minister Murphy is worried about people's objections, he should try building public housing, and you'd see how a little objection he would get to that.
Yeah. Yep.
With tongue in cheek, I say that. As I say, the time, is this a case of if it's not broken, why try to fix it? Like, everything seemed to be fine, that people had the right to object to things, and they went through the judicial format that we've had already. So if it's not broken, why try to fix it? That's the point
yeah,
of making.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this
like,
where
there,
the case
there,
is?
This is? Yeah, I mean, I think, yes, there are certainly delays in the planning system, but it's not being caused by judicial reviews. I mean, those numbers I just gave you there, mm-hmm. that amounted to 1.44% of on Bord Pleanála cases went to the court, whereas on average, I think it's around 23 weeks that it takes on Bord Pleanála to make a decision on a case. You know, and there were, you know, almost 3,000 of those cases. So it's just, the judicial review process isn't the problem here. So it really just goes to show that the government is trying to quash the right of the public to participate in the planning process. It's not about addressing delays in the system. There's other ways to do that. It's really about stopping environmental NGOs, citizen-led groups, members of the public from holding the government account for flawed planning decisions.
Okay. And I'll just ask you again, Phoebe, has there been a good reaction from the public so far?
Yeah, most, I would say almost all
Great.
Of the people I've talked to have been outraged by this bill, have been quite shocked, actually, at how blatant it is in just eroding our democratic right to access justice on planning. So I'm hoping that that will be carried through and result in a lot of submissions to this consultation.
As regards ourselves and other, I don't know whether you would know, but other European countries, or maybe further afield, is there anything as restrictive as this in other countries?
That's interesting that you bring that up, because the government actually has used that justification to push this bill. They're saying that, you know, oh, all this stuff is coming from other European countries. And yes, to an extent, that is correct in that certain countries have pieces of these restrictions. I believe Sweden has the 100 members law. But the thing is, no other country has all of them in combination.
Mm-hmm.
So while, yes, individually a lot of these measures are seen in other countries in Europe, this battery of, you know, these four main restrictions
not at the same time
earlier, we don't see that anywhere else.
Okay, so we're going to be the first in that. We've tried to be the first in a lot of things, but this is not something we would recommend. Okay,
no.
I'll leave the last word at you, Phoebe, and get it out there to people that they should get up off their ass and get out there and get involved in this consultation.
Yeah, if we really, really strongly urge you to write a letter opposing this by 5 p.m. on Monday the 27th. We've got now on our website a one-page explainer document about the main problems with the bill and also how to participate in the consultation. And again, don't hesitate to contact Antashka about this. We're happy to answer questions, happy to help. Planning at antashka.org is the email address, or you can call us on 01-454-1786. And yeah, this bill is just such a serious erosion of our democratic rights with regard to planning that we really need as many voices in this consultation as possible.
Okay, let's get all the people that were involved in the water protests involved in this,
exactly.
And we should have no problem. Okay, thank you very much, Phoebe. Always a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Noel.
Thank you. Bye. And that's Phoebe Duval, a planning and environmental policy officer with Antashka.